Good evening, everybody. Brian Newbert here from GoldenBlack.com, live in his car once again, driving back from Mackey Arena, this time following Purdue 79-62. Lost to number 21, Illinois. Obviously, a very disappointing setback for the Boilermakers, and this will be your Golden Black Radio Express post-game podcast to talk about it, brought to you by Fouts Purdue Bookstores, Purdue Federal Credit Union, 6th Street Dive Restaurant, First Source Bank, East End Grill, and the Charters Team Remax Ability Plus. This is a crucial stretch of games coming up here for Purdue, about seven of them, including a bunch of home games and a couple of road games that, even though Purdue hasn't won a road game in the Big Ten yet, you know, don't seem like total losses where you just write them off in the first place. A really, really important seven-game stretch here that, to me, probably defines Purdue's season, puts it in the NCAA tournament or leaves it out of the NCAA tournament, one or the other. And, you know, you had to feel good if you're a Purdue observer, partisan, stakeholder, whatever term you want to use, fan maybe, about this Illinois game, simply because Purdue had it at home. And Purdue has been pretty good at home ever since the Texas loss. They've looked real good at home, dominated Virginia, dominated Michigan State, and every Big Ten game from here on out figured to be an environment much like those. But the second half was utter domination by Illinois, and kind of proved Purdue's not unbeatable in Mackey Arena. And where Purdue has to be careful now, to me, I'm not a psychologist, nor did I play college basketball at a high level, or college basketball at any level for that matter. Where Purdue has to be careful is to not let this affect their morale, their spirit, whatever it may be, come Wisconsin Friday night. Without the confidence boost that their apparent invincibility in Mackey Arena might have given them before, that's not there anymore. They have to be very careful not to overcorrect and lose their spirit, so to speak, because they've now been shown that Mackey Arena literally affords you nothing, guarantees you nothing. Anyway, Purdue led in the first half, after the first half, by 1 point at halftime, thanks to 100% three-point shooting on two attempts, and despite getting out-rebounded 20-8, which, how Purdue actually led, I'd have to go back and kind of look at the box score, look at the play-by-play to actually figure it out, because it didn't really add up in that sense. But Purdue did lead, and then to start the second half, Purdue missed a shot, rebounded it, missed another 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 shot, rebounded it, and then missed another shot. And, you know, it was kind of cartoonish in the sense that Purdue got blasted on the boards in the first half, and then they go out and get four offensive rebounds or five offensive rebounds in the same possession, and then can't make a layup. You know, they were all shots in traffic. I shouldn't call them layups. There was an open three, but there were a bunch of shots right around the basket. Purdue should have scored there, shall we say. After that, it was basically all Illinois. You know, Purdue obviously has some offensive limitations, but throughout this season, the one thing they could always fall back on is they've been a pretty good half-court defensive team and a pretty solid rebounding team. And the second half, Illinois just carved Purdue up. And, you know, Purdue really struggled to guard Illinois' ball screen action. They did some different things in their offensive actions. Purdue did a lackluster job getting out to shooters, closing out off those screens, covering the roll man. Their rotations were very, very flawed, it seemed like to me, live. I'll have to go back and watch it on Wednesday. I'm sure you'll be looking forward to the in-depth review of that second half. But Purdue defensively just wasn't what you're used to seeing Purdue. I know attention to detail, you know, hasn't been flawless for Purdue defensively all season long, but by and large, they've been really good defensively. And this was the most points an opponent has scored in regulation this season against Purdue. Illinois 79 were second only to Michigan, which obviously went to double overtime to get 84. So Illinois did whatever it wanted offensively in the second half. They are a very, very difficult matchup in the sense that they have an NBA point guard, not Io DeSumo. They have an NBA big man in Kofi Coburn. And one of their shot makers, who's normally just a complimentary guy to those two guys, Trent Frazier, made five of them. in part because Purdue's closeouts were bad, in part because they caught Purdue in some scrambles off offensive rebounds, in part because they forced Purdue into a bad shot, let Illinois get out in transition, and it's kind of the story of the game. Illinois, again, did whatever they wanted to do on offense in the second half, and you're just not used to seeing that against this Purdue team. But defensively, you know, Purdue has some real limitations offensively, largely in the backcourt. You know, I think at this stage of Purdue's guards' careers, you know, as I wrote earlier, the only guy with real physical advantages over most people is Nojel Eastern, solely because of his size. But Purdue doesn't have a lot of guys who can go past people. Purdue doesn't have great athletes. Purdue doesn't have great speed, great quickness. Those guys will get better over time. You're talking about a lot of sophomores here. But I don't think they're ever going to be, you know, dynamic athletes or dynamic playmakers. That's what Purdue lacks right now in its backcourt. And that's one of its big offensive limitations this year. People talk about this guy's not scoring, this guy's not making shots, and that stuff does matter, yes. But Purdue is very limited in its backcourt in terms of its ability to create shots for itself, to make plays off the dribble, and so on and so forth. And this is an offense built to generate angles and lanes to get to the basket. This is just not a great group in terms of their ability to get to the basket, to make plays, to create shots and whatnot. And what Illinois does is they're largely really high pressure on the perimeter. They're often kind of full denial, very aggressive on the perimeter without a whole lot of help. That leaves space in the middle. And when you have two good big men like Purdue has in Matt Harms and Travion Williams, that should be an opportunity. Problem is, Illinois went out and got itself a young man named Kofi Coburn, who is 7 foot, 290 pounds, and makes Isaac Haas look normal sized. I mean, he's a monster. He's a beast. He's a stonewall. He's a good basketball player, too. But he is another NBA player who just happens to be playing college basketball right now. And there aren't a whole lot of centers in the Big Ten college basketball in general where Purdue's not going to feel like it's got a pretty big advantage one-on-one in space against those guys in the post. Kofi Coburn is one of those guys, because Matt Harms needs great post position to be able to score in the post, I think. Not able to get it against that guy. Size sometimes really gives Travion Williams problems, and size is something that Kofi Coburn has in spades over Travion Williams. And just those one-on-one matchups, you know, were an Illinois win, where Purdue needed a decisive Purdue win, because Illinois was selling out to take away the guards. Purdue, you know, only took two threes in the first half. That tells you what Illinois was able to get done defensively. There was no room for Sasha Stefanovic to get open looks. There was no room for Eric Hunter to get open looks. Not a whole lot of room for a whole lot of anything from the perimeter. Two of Purdue's threes were made by Matt Harms and Aaron Wheeler out of the front court. The other was made by Eric Hunter right before halftime. But just not a whole lot of opportunity for Purdue's guards to do a whole lot, and the bigs couldn't take advantage of it because Illinois has a pro at center. That's a very difficult matchup. I do think Illinois is ideally tailored to be a bad matchup for Purdue. They're kind of this year's Minnesota in that way. I'm sure in a moment of honesty, Purdue would probably tell you they're happy to be done with Illinois for the regular season at least. But the other issue, too, here is that Illinois is unbelievably tough. They have built a roster full of tough kids. They have an edge. They're unflappable on the road. They have the two best road wins in the Big Ten in Wisconsin and Purdue now. They are a legitimate Big Ten title contender here. Everybody handed the league to Michigan State before the season. And, yes, I know Michigan State beat Illinois by 20 in East Lansing. I don't know if Illinois goes to the state or Michigan State goes to Champaign. But if they do, that'd be a very interesting game, because I think Illinois is right there with Michigan State in terms of their weapons, in terms of their advantages personnel-wise, but also in terms of their toughness. That is a cutthroat team that proved tonight they will literally step on you if given the opportunity. That was the obviously unfortunate part of this game where you know, this is a great win for Illinois that is going to get a little bit of attention taken off of it because one of their guys stepped on one of Purdue's guys in a blatant act of whatever word you want to use. It was ugly, and my guess is Illinois will wake up tomorrow to an email from the Big Ten suggesting strongly that, hey, why don't you guys maybe self-impose a suspension here so that we don't have to come in and do it ourselves. But thankfully for Illinois, Kansas and Kansas State probably stole all the college basketball chaos related headlines with their brawl. Anyway, it was an ugly night in that sense. It was an ugly night for Purdue in the second half. Not the way Purdue wanted to start this crucial stretch of games. But at the end of the day, Purdue losing to a very good Illinois team and a very tough Illinois team. So it's kind of what I got. I'm just about into my driveway, so we're going to cut this off now. This has been your Golden Black Radio Express postgame podcast from Purdue's 79-62 loss, number 21, Illinois. It's been brought to you by Follett's Purdue Bookstores, Purdue Federal Credit Union, the 6th Street Dive Restaurant, First Source Bank, East End Grill, and the Charters Team Remax Ability Plus. So thanks, everybody, so much for listening. Appreciate it. Friday night, Purdue hosts Wisconsin. Critical game for Purdue, needless to say. So we will talk to you again after that one, and hope everyone has a good rest of your night, morning, afternoon, whenever you're listening to this. I hope the rest of it is great. Thanks, everybody.